Blog Talk Radio. I was free to do what I want to. But I still had you. Show me your grace. Now my life is new, that I thank you. Yeah, thank you. Oh, I'm telling you one more thing. About how good you were to me. Oh, how great time to be by. What show somebody so broke down.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm going to be ready. I am ready, Lord. Whatever you want to do with me, however you choose to do it with me, I am ready. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. I bless your holy name, Jesus. And thank you for the word that you have given us. Go back over some things. We ask, O God, that you bless those that are coming on the line, those that are listening by satellite radio, computer system, however they're listening. Bless them, Lord. Lord, give them a desire to want to be closer to you, Lord. Lord, we know they can't come unless you draw them. So we ask you, Lord, to draw your people to you. And even those that don't know you, Lord Jesus, draw them to you. Oh, God, give them an incentive to want to seek your face, oh God, and not your hand. We pray today, God, for Israel. We pray for Sudan. We pray for all over the continent of Africa. Father, we pray for Syria. And we pray for Iraq and Iran. We pray for Hezbollah. We pray for the Garnets, Gazans. We pray, Lord God, for Hamas. Father, we pray today that you bring them to a place of surrender, that no more lives will be lost. We know that Israel lost a lot. Oh, Father, we pray. Hamas lost a lot. They're all losing. There's no winners when life is taken. So we ask you, Father God, to intervene. You fight for Israel. You fight because they are your people. And you said you will never leave them or forsake them. Father, we thank you this morning, oh God, that you bless us to have a mind to pray even for our enemies. For those that hate us and dislike us without a cause, we pray for them. We pray for you. Keep them in perfect peace and their mind stayed on you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that let not the death angel come by their house, O God. And even if he swing by their house, let him continue to keep on going. We ask you to protect the people of God. Have mercy upon your house, O God, and upon your people. Let the blood of Jesus rest upon the doorposts of our hearts, O God. The enemy would not be able to advance. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' holy name. Today, I want to do this old message from a different point of view. And I did this sometime 2014 or so, and it was called The Rules for Just Living. But today we are going to call it the message because I'm adding some things in as I go. And the Lord told us to go back there last night. We heard the Lord speaking so plain to my soul, plain to my spirit. And he gave me another topic that I'm going to be working on today. And the topic he gave me, there's a great need for an apostolic manifestation. There's a great need for apostolic. And that just means to see the power and the awesomeness of God manifesting in the service and not a conjure up force to make people believe that he's in the midst when he's not. But here we want to talk about a call for justice. A call for justice. As we look in the world, you see that it's happening in the Middle East. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in the Caribbean. It's happening all over Europe, even right here in the United States of America. People want justice. Justice from the sin that's happening on our streets, in our homes, on our jobs. People want justice. As much as you hear people up there protesting a lot of stupidness, the real people that have a heart of God want justice, true justice. So here in the book of Exodus, let's start there first, and then we're going to jump around the place. In the book of Exodus, coming out the I downloaded a couple of Bibles last night. Was on the internet, on the app, in the app store, downloading some Bibles. You know, you can never have enough Bibles. Different versions of the Bible help you to understand the Word of God even better. But let's look at Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. We're talking about a call for justice. And let's do the first 13 verses. A call for justice. You must not pass along false rumors. In other words, what he is saying here by the prophet Moses is that you must not gossip. We must not gossip. This is what God is saying. It's in the Bible. You must not pass along false rumors. That's for gossipers. You must not cooperate with evil people by lying on the witness stand. How many people go to the court as a witness and find themselves lying? Lying against someone because they don't like the person, or they like the other person, but they don't like one person, and they're going to get some money from this person if they tell a lie for them. He says, you must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you are called to testify in a dispute, do not swear by the crowd. Do not move by the crowd to twist the justice. Do not swear. You know, a lot of times we'll move according to the crowd. I had a pastor over in Nigerian pastor over in Rhode Island. Nice man, Pastor Paul. And he would tell you, he's 1 year older than me, he's 75. And he says, he always says, don't follow the crowd, follow the cloud. Kept that. I wrote that in my computer, and I kept that saying. It's not mine. God gave it to him, or maybe give it to somebody else, and he got it from somebody else. But I heard him spoke it, and I kept it. Don't follow the crowd. And a lot of times what we find ourselves doing is following the crowd because the crowd sounds good, the crowds look good. They look like they're saying the right thing. You've seen all these young people that go into college, their parents paying $60,000, $70,000 for them to go to college, for them to get a degree. And they're on the streets calling for somebody to be murdered, somebody to be killed, somebody to be mean. They're calling for war. They're calling for fight. And they don't know the whole story. Don't be swear by the crowd to twist the justice. He said, and do not slant your testimony in favor of a person just because that person is poor. We don't move to the left or to the right because of a person's attitude or a person's condition or situation. We move according to the truth. That's how we move as Christians. We move according to the truth. If you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner. Excuse me. You know, it's hard for us as people. Because, you know, when you have an enemy, or if it happens that somebody wrong you, you make them your enemy, you forget that you are called to love your enemy. Because that thing that we have called flesh forgets that we are washed in the blood. And you have to remind yourself all the time when things are happening, things are changing, the atmosphere is changing, people around you are changing, the city is changing, the government is changing. Oh, my God, the people on your job is constrained. You got to remember who you are and whose you are. Do you hear me today? So he says, if you see that the donkey of someone you hate, that means they're your enemy. You hate them. You has you hate. Let me read that again. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you has collapsed under its load, do not walk by. Instead, stop and help. In a lawsuit, you must not deny justice to the poor. Now, you know a lot of times, you know that we see a person that who didn't like us, and they have a flat tire. And we just smile. It's raining, it's snowing, and they're out there. You have the kind of jack in your car that would just raise up the car in 2 seconds. I bought one in Big Jack's that they use in the garage. I have that at my house in the garage. And it's quick, fast, and hurry. I can change tires and pass the tire. I put that. I got a lot of them tools, you know, the strips that you put in the tire and stuff to fix the tires. But we are passed by. And we don't even say, well, let me go help that person. But now, you see, society have us so prone and so scared, so afraid that you don't want to help anybody because you, in reality, it could be your last time that you get out of your car. That you step out of your car to help someone and the person take your life. So you have to have a discerning spirit. Just don't go to help. I'm telling the truth. Just don't go to help because you want to help and because you're a Christian. You know, that's why we always should be prayed up. If you prayed up, God gonna let you know. God must say, look, you just don't go there to help them. Somebody's just coming by that's not afraid. Somebody's coming by who's able to handle themselves. They will fix the time for them. You gotta pray. You gotta pray. You gotta be prayed up. Discerning of the times. Listen to what he says. Glory to God. He says, be sure never to charge anyone falsely with evil. Never sentence an innocent or blameless person to death. For I never declared a guilty person to be innocent. Hear what God says? A lot of people sitting in the penitentiary right now, in the jailhouse, that are innocent. Because somebody went on the witness stand and lied on them. Some police officer gave bad evidence so that he could win a case. Some attorney for the government lied and conjured up some information so that he can win a case. He said, don't do it. He never declared a person guilty that is innocent. He said, take no bribes. Take no bribes, for a bribe makes you ignore something that you clearly see. A bribe makes even a righteous person twist the truth. Don't let anyone give you some money for you to deviate from the truth. People will give you some money so you can be in agreement with it. They say, well, you know how. Sister so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, Evangelist so-and-so. Well, you know, they're my friend, and they always give me stuff. So I'm going to stand with them. I'm going to stick with them. Whatever they say, I'm going to say yes to. Well, you know you're out of order. You're not in agreement with God. You may be in agreement with your associate, with your friend, with your sister, Christian brother or Christian sister, but you're not in agreement with God. Because God said, don't take no bribe. Don't take no bribe. He said, because a bribe makes even a righteous person twist the truth. And when you twist the truth, what you're doing, you're lying. He said, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years. Listen to what it says, to go back to verse 9. You must not oppress foreigners. You know what it takes to be a foreigner? For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You know, when I first got here in the early 70s, I think about 75, 76, African Americans used to tell me, go back to my country. They used to tell me, go back to Africa. And you know what I used to tell them? Go to Europe. Because I can go to Africa as I'm a black man, but they can't go to Europe. Care about you in Europe. Europe is full with Caucasians. And they look down. I don't care what country you come from and you're a black man. They look down on you as an African. And a guy told me that stuff. And I told him, I said, look, you go. At that time, you know, I was a rebel. So I was carrying a .357 Magnum in my car. And I got out. The Magnum I got out the car with the Magnum next to my leg, in my hand. And I was, you know, I was talking to him back because I had my hat in my hand. And I told him, I said, you go back to Europe, man. I was living in Washington, D.C. then, captured him. And, you know, the Lord did not allow me to shoot that man because I wanted to. You know, I was a rebel. I wasn't saved. And I was protecting my family at the time. So he says here, listen, glory to God. But let the land, he said, but let the land, you know, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years. But let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. Don't do anything on the seventh year. Then let the poor among you harvest whatever grows on its own. Leave the rest for wild animals to eat. The same applies to your vineyards and olive groves. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But on the seventh day, you must stop working. This gives your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. It also allows your slaves and the foreigners living among you to be refreshed. Pay close attention to all my instructions. You must not call on the name of any other gods. Do not even speak their names. God wants us to honor him and honor him alone. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3 and verses, glory to God, verses 14 to 15. Let's see where we come in here. Let's see where we come in here. This is a powerful word right here. You can start it from verse 1, but I want to come in here, down here at verses 10. Let's start at verse 14 or 15. He says, the Lord comes forward to pronounce judgment on the elders and rulers of his people. In other words, God is coming to judge his people. He is coming to judge his people. We got to understand that because he said so in the word. He said judgment must begin at the house of the Lord first, and if it begins at us, what say to them that don't know the word? They're not saved. Do you hear me? We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We find it difficult to follow instructions because we don't want anybody. Second Peter. Let me get that verse up here for you quick so we can put it on there. First Peter chapter 4 and 17. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? They don't know God. They don't have a relationship with him. You know, hallelujah. Last night I'm laying on the bed and the Lord began to speak to me so clear. I was hearing him speaking into my spirit. And he was telling me about the apostolic manifestation. And he said that there's a great need for the apostolic manifestation. And I was asking to myself, what is he saying? And the Lord was saying that, he was saying to me that we need to get to the place where that he begin to manifest through us. The power, the anointing, the glory that he had with the Father. It must flow through us that people can be healed, people can be delivered, people will come to him through the word that we speak. But we are so caught up in the materialistic things. I'm talking about a call for justice. God wants us to live as just people, righteous and holy before him. Isaiah says in chapter 3, and we just read Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 to 13. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, the Lord comes forward to pronounce judgment on the elders and rulers of his people. You must You have ruined Israel, my vineyard. Your houses are filled with things stolen from the poor. Listen to what God is saying. And if he speak like this to his people, what do you think he's going to speak to people that don't have a relationship with him? See, because we are so caught up, I'm saying it, God says it all the time. You will hear this through the message. We are so caught up with materialistic things. We're caught up with the have to have the new phone, have to have the new computer, have to have the new television, have to have a new car, have to have a new Harley Davidson. Everything that we in the stuff that we have now is working fine. But like I said earlier, we want to keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. When I lived in the Barbados, when I was a young man, and I used to watch the Jeffersons, oh, we couldn't wait till the night when Jefferson, we didn't have a TV. So I used to go over by these people's house, and you know, a lot of youngsters that the parents didn't have TV. We go around, because these people, the ladies passed, cross over. I just find that out when I went home in June. What happened is she have kids in England. She have people in Canada. She have sons and daughters in America. So they all took care of their mother, which was good. But we didn't have nobody where all of us was here. And my brothers were alcoholics, like to drink a lot. They were fishermen, but they drink a lot. And my mother was doing two jobs to take care of us. And I would go over, a lot of us would go around this people's house, this lady's house. And we were staying, it had a big front window, you know, bay window. And everybody, you have your brick. It was funny, though. You had to live in the block. And you carry your cinder block with you, because when you leave, you take it back by your house. Because the next time when the Jeffersons or one of those shows comes on, we call them Flintstone. We used to like the Flintstone. And you're going to come. You want to be here to stand up on that brick and look into the window. Let the window open. They watch it in there. They don't invite you in the house, but you look into the window. And I have to go over and sit, stand up by the window and watch all them shows. You know, it love was to come. But God says, man, that the people, he said, how dare you crush my people, grinding the faces of the poor into dust, demands the Lord of heaven's army. God is coming with judgment. He's not coming bringing candy bars and bringing chocolate bars and milk, almond milk. He's coming with judgment. And those of us that know him, that develop a relationship with him, he expects us to live a certain way. Yeah, go to Jesus have mercy. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Yeah, I know that when the message has got good substance, they always have good substance. All of a sudden, my throat would start itching. I had no kind of itching yesterday, last night, and also. And I ministered that word yesterday in the church. It was so powerful. Oh, my Jesus. Talk about Jesus at the tomb. Tomb, he showed power, with apostolic power. Here, Proverbs chapter 1, and let's start at verse 10. Well, let us start at verse let's start at verse 10. He says, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. You know, sometimes you have some associates or friends or however you want to call them, co-workers, even family members. And they're going to do things that do not line up with God's word. Does not please God. And say, man, look, we going down the road and we going to do this, we going to do that. Come go with us, man. He says, God says in the word, turn your back on them. In other words, ignore them. Don't go with them. Because in the long run, it's going to cost you. It may even cost you your time, your freedom. It may even cost you your life. It may cost you a lot of money to get your freedom back. He says, so turn your back on them. Verse 11 says, they may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. You know, they've got people that say that. just for fun. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. This is the world that we're living in today. Don't you take it for granted. People are doing just what Solomon is saying here in this chapter 1. And we're talking about it called for justice. It called for justice. And he said this. Them men said, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. MX 13 and 18. They kill people just for fun. Matter of fact, it's initiation. They might tell you go and cut off somebody's head. Cut off somebody's head. Stab somebody in the chest. Shoot them in the back. Shoot them in the head. Whatever. Just take their life. You come back. You may bring back some of their blood on you or something. Just a proof. A finger, a toe, or something. I don't know what they do. But they bring back something to show the leader that they have completed their task. This is the world that we're living in, but God has it already in the book to tell us, don't get. He says, let's swallow them alive. This is what they entice you to do, like the grave. Let's swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Isn't that what the world thinks, how the world thinks? They can come, you have working 60 hours a week to keep your house happy, to make sure your husband have, your wife have, your children have, your brother, your sister. You all have what you all need, and then somebody will wait, watch you, and see you going up to the store, and while you're at the mall shopping to get your new suit for Sunday morning or for the revival, for the convocation, your new dress, your new wig. They're going to rob your house. Take your TV. Take your refrigerator. Take your microwave. Take everything in your house. You come back home, your house looks like a spare rib. Empty. Take out your furniture and all that. They dress up like if you're moving. And the neighbors don't call the police car. They have a truck with a fake license plate. And the people dress in a uniform like they're movers. But at the same time, they're robbing you and whoever else they can rob. He says, come. Throw in your lot with us. We all share the lot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. You hear what Solomon says? If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away, so we should know better. More intelligence, more wisdom than the bird. We should know better. But you know what? Sometimes we get clouded up by our own wisdom, and we end up doing things we shouldn't be done. We shouldn't be doing. He says, but the people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. People get into stuff. I told you earlier in the message, some folk will get into stuff and end up giving away their freedom. Time. Sometimes it will cost them a lot of money to get their freedom back. They have to pay lawyers a lot of money to plead their case in a court that they shouldn't have to. But they listen to people say, like, come on, go with me. We're gonna rob this store. We're going to go down here. This man has a safe. And they may have an inside person that working for the man. Say, well, you know, brother, John has a safe, and the safe is in this room, and I have watched him put all the money from the day in the safe. And this is a combination. And they'll go down there to rob that man, thinking that the guy or the girl may tell him that he leaves a certain time to go to meet his girlfriend or pick up his wife or something. And for some reason, the man didn't move as fast as the guy thought or the girl thought he would move. And when they get to the house, the man or woman is in the house. They have to take that person's life because they don't want any witnesses. They want to get the money. Let's go to another scripture, to God. Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. So much going on. Matthew 5, and then we go over to Exodus 22. Exodus 22. I was having fun last night, I tell you, just downloading all the different Bibles. And just bless me. And when you can get them for free, it don't cost you. It's going to got some for cost a lot of money on the computer. But I say I get the free ones. Hallelujah. Save some money. Here in Matthew chapter 5, and let's go down to, glory to God, verses 38 to, well, let's start at verses, Jesus, 43 to 48. He says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus speaking. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true Christians or true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be even as your Father in heaven, perfect. Now, Jesus laid this thing so plain out for us that a deaf man can hear, a blind man can see it. We have to be different. And we can't take on the animosity and the spirit of the world. We have to have God's spirit on us, moving through, on us and in us, moving through us. So that in spite of you seeing your friend going down, the enemy going down the wrong way, you said, no, don't go down that way. That's going to lead you to death. You have to be willing to do that. Remember, he used the word, if you see your enemy's donkey or ox are fallen under a heavy load, he said you're not to pass by without helping, but stop and help. And that's a hard thing to do because you have so much inside of you against the person. And sometimes for little thing that person did. Glory to God. I know we had some people who was coming on the line, and there was other people that was on the line. And if those other people get to preach or teach, some folk wouldn't come on the line. But they say they love the Lord. They say, I can't stand Sister Rabbit, Brother Cabbage. I can't stand them. I just don't like them. They do this or they do that. But they say they love the Lord. We can't do that. We cannot do that. Because we are God's children. And when he says, you have to be perfect even as the Father is perfect in heaven. How you become perfect? You're not really perfect. But you are perfect in the sense that you are obedient to God's word. And you live in what God said because he's perfecting us. We're only going to be truly perfect when he comes. But he's perfecting us. That's why he's giving us these instructions to live by. These are instructions to live by. These are hard instructions, but if you live by them, he helps you to live by them. He makes a way you can live that lifestyle that please him. And you'll realize that after the end of this, a man that wasn't as hard as I thought it was. Here in Exodus, he says, protecting the property. He said, if anyone steals an ox or sheep and then kills or sell it, the thief must pay back 5 oxen for each one stolen and 4 sheep for each sheep stolen. If a thief is caught in the act of of breaking into a house and is struck and killed in the process, the person who killed the thief is not guilty of murder. It's a hard word. This is what God says. But in society today, if this happened, the thief said, no, the person who protects his property now got to get some highfalutin lawyer and pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to stay out of jail. And then he got to hope that the jury don't find him guilty, that the prosecuting attorney don't come up with some kind of lie to make him look in the wrong, you see? But God says if he protecting his property and happened to kill the person who committed his property, he should not be guilty of murder. But if it happens in daylight, the one who killed the thief is guilty of murder. A thief who is caught must pay in full for everything he stole. If he cannot pay, he must be sold as a slave to pay for the debt or for the theft. If someone steals an ox or a donkey or a sheep or is found in the thief's position, then the thief must pay double the value of the stolen animals. This was some heavy, heavy, heavy justice here, I'm telling you. These people that wreck, going around stealing, breaking the people's house and people's stores, they wouldn't want to live in this time. They get away easy now. And matter of fact, they don't even have to pay anything now, because this laws that they have now, people can go in the store and take whatever they need out of the store and go inside, and the people can't even, security guard can't even. If the security guard try to do something, the security guard loses his job. It's been happening in Walmart and Kmart and all these places. People going in and sometimes they put up to the store and take one of the shopping carts and go in the store and take all the stuff like it's their stuff. Not in this time. He says, if you are burning thorn bushes and the fire get out of control and spread into another person's field, destroy the sheaves or the uncut grain in the whole crop, the one who started the fire must pay for the lost crop. Suppose someone leaves money or goods with a neighbor for safekeeping, and they are stolen from the neighbor's house. If the thief is caught, the compensation is double the value of what was stolen. But if the thief is not caught, the neighbor must appear before God, who will determine if he stolen the property. Suppose there is a dispute between two people who both claim to own a particular ox, donkey, sheep, articles of clothing, or any lost property. Both parties must come before God, and the person whom God declares guilty must pay double compensation to. Now you come before the pastor, the priest, and God will speak to the priest or the prophet. You remember when Solomon had to make the judgment between the baby, where the two women had the two kids and one cook her kid, and they both eat her kid. It was a famine. But when it come time for her to cook her kid, she didn't want to cook her kid. But Solomon had the spirit of discernment. And what he did, he told one of the soldiers, one of his armor bearers, said, look, get the sword and cut the baby in half and give her half and give her half. And the lady who the baby belongs to, No, don't kill the baby. Give the baby to her. Let her have the baby. So Solomon says, sure, the baby is your baby. And see, he judged rightfully because God tells him how to judge. This is what we need. This is what we need. We need to seek God before we do stuff, before we leave stuff, before we get into stuff, you know, even in marriage. You know, people just say, well, I just love her because she's fine. I love her because she got nice hair. She smells good. Every time I see her, oh, she's just clouded all the way down from head to toe. I mean, she's just fine. Her curves and everything, right? Oh, I just love him. Yeah, you know, his hair is just fixed. He's blocked and everything from the barber shop. His clothes is nice, his nice rings of gold. He's got everything. He drives a nice BMW, Lexus, whatever he's driving, but he looks good. He's not driving a Hootie. So they want to, I'm going to give him the stuff, and I'm going to give him the booty, and after that, he's going to want it so bad, he's going to want to marry to me. They want to get married. Not even know the person. Haven't even sought God on the person. 3 months, not even 3 months, they started fighting. The next thing you know, they want to go to the court and get a letter of divorce because they haven't talked to God. You know, what are you going to do? You got to seek him. Seek him first. He said, suppose, you got to come before God, both parties. He said, suppose someone leaves a donkey or ox or any other animal with a neighbor for safekeeping, but it dies or is injured or is taken away or no one sees what happened. The neighbor must then take an oath in the presence of the Lord. If the Lord confirms that the neighbor did not steal the property, the owner must accept the verdict and no payment will be required. But if the animal were indeed stolen, the guilty person must pay compensation to the owner. If it was torn to pieces by a wild animal, the remains of the carcass must be shown as evidence and no compensation will be required. If someone borrows an animal from a neighbor, and is injured or died when the owner is absent, the person who borrowed it must pay a full compensation. But if the owner was present, no compensation required. And no compensation is required if the animal was rented. I don't know, you can rent animals. For this loss is covered by the rental fee. This is what the Lord says. Let's go to, hallelujah, glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Woo! Let's look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. It's got to go through the book. We're talking about a call for justice. No, you see in the Middle East, it's going on right now. It's a call for justice. And you have some people out there getting some young people that I talk to about them. You have some Congress people that are talking stupid to that should be expelled from Congress. They're causing incitement on in the streets, causing people to want to write and want to kill people, want to fight. They're doing this. These are Congress people. They should be expelled from the Congress. I don't care if there's a woman or man, but they should be expelled. This is a call for justice. How are you going to respond, you know? He's telling right here in the Word. How are you going to respond to somebody coming and kill your dog? You want another dog. It's just a dog. But if they come and kill your grandchild, you can't get back another grandchild. So what you do, walk down the street and skip through the tourists and say, well, they killed my grandchild, I'm not going to do nothing. No, they're not going to do nothing. They'll come back and look for you at a great-grandchildren then because you haven't done anything. They're not going to stand. They're not going to end. They're not going to end until they totally eliminate you and your family. They don't want you in that neighborhood. They don't want you in that country. They don't want you in that nation. They're not going to stop till you are totally destroyed. So now Israel has to stand up. This thing happened from 430 years. They were going through stuff in Egypt. 430 years. They had to go through and work. One time, there was a time that Pharaoh had them building his castle and monuments and all this stuff without giving them cement, mortar, bricks. They had to go find straw for themselves and mortar for themselves to mix, you know, clay dirt to mix the mortar to build, to make the bricks. They suffered a lot. And not these Caucasians over there, but I'm talking about the African Israelites. They suffered a lot. And God says so plainly, man, if somebody takes something from you, they got to repay. And now the people coming against Israel, I'm not for killing people. I'm really not for. You know, maybe that's why when I was younger, I didn't join nobody. I didn't join the army in our country, in the country I was born in, and now this country that is my country. I didn't join the country, and I got here at the time that I was a young man. I could have joined the army too, but I didn't join no army, you know. Because I'm not into killing people. I was with people, man. When I was in the street, I had associates that killed people. And this is no joke. I had associates that took people's lives. And I was lucky. I was blessed. No, I can't say lucky. I was blessed that God was watching over me then when I wasn't even saved. God is awesome. Because God knows, the Bible says he knows the end before the beginning. So God know that he going to use you. God know he going to use me when we weren't even in the ministry yet. Yeah, and them people kill all kind of people, man. And some of them, one guy got 23 years, another one got 13 years. I mean, they were all, had a lot of long time. And one guy came out of the penitentiary, because I always had a nice truck. And they used to use my truck to go rob people and stuff. And he come tell me, he called me and said, "Brother Dave, man, I'm home. I said, "Praise the Lord." So he says, "Man, where are we going to get together?" So I told him, "Sister, we ain't going to get together." I says, "I'm a saved man. I'm a minister in the church." I said, "I don't run the speed anymore." He said, "Man, you kidding me?" He couldn't believe me. I said, "Yes, I'm a saved man. I'm a minister in the church. I don't smoke that stuff. I don't go on the streets anymore. I'm home. I go to work." I said, "Yeah." And I told him, he says, "Man, he's sighed for a long time." He couldn't believe it. And since that day, up to now, he haven't called me another day. Not another day to say he could break my wheel. Because I guess the way I was stern telling him that I was saved and that I was a minister, he said, "Man, I ain't fooling with that dude anymore. That God give up his life. He gave his life away. Yes, I truly give it away. No longer mine." But I tell you, we're going over to Leviticus, right? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. And let's pull up a scripture inside there. We got some stuff we want to give you. Because this thing here weighed me down last night. And then the Lord began speaking to me. I couldn't sleep at all. I was in and out, up, down, I couldn't sleep. And the Lord said, "Tell me about this apostolic manifestation that's needed in the church." And the Lord began to lay some stuff on my heart. I said, "Lord, I got to go. I got to look at this stuff." So I started looking up some scriptures. And God was showing us how the apostles were so anointed and had so much power. And I asked the Lord, yes, Minister Jones, I ask the Lord questions. I don't just sit there and let the Lord talk. And the Lord talks. I say, he talk when he want to talk. But I break silence too. I said, "God, I just want to know why the apostle had so much power. We don't have that kind of power." And the Lord says to me, because folk are not really honoring the word. They're not honoring the word. And they don't believe a lot of what they're saying. It sounds eloquent when they're saying it. They're sweating. They're jumping on the floor. They're rolling on the floor. They're jumping up on the altar, running down off the altar. And they're hooping and hollering and snorting and all kind of stuff. But they don't really believe what they say. You have a preacher tell you, God's going to heal you. And if you just believe, God will heal you. But the preacher's sick. Because the preacher don't believe. The preacher don't believe. He wants to lay hands on you and he's sick. He's dying. Because he don't believe in the very words that he's speaking. He don't believe it. You got to believe what you say. Jesus said, if you can believe all, he didn't say something. He said, all things that happen. You can speak to the mountain and move, tell it go over there, go over there. That's what he says. But you have to believe. Believe means that you got to cast everything else out. Everything, every entity that would try to hinder your thinking, you got to cast out. Got to put aside. That's how faith begin to come. But we say, Lord, we got to toss and turn it. Man, look, I lay sometime in the bed and that joker, he's so powerful. That old devil's strong. People don't believe that. And I hear him saying, go this. But the Lord said, don't go. And I need to go. But the Lord said, don't go. And sure enough, I hear there was a shooting in the neighborhood that I was going in. But the Lord said, don't go. And I said, I'm not going. But when the Lord said, go, I have smooth sailing. There's no problems. There's no problems on the road. Because you have to put God first. You have to trust his instructions. This is what Moses is saying here. Leviticus chapter 19, and let's hit verse 9-10. You can hit this from verse 1, but I'm just going to pull up these two verses here. So when you harvest the crop of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges. of your fields. And do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Now, what is he saying there? Because God always think about the poor. And God wants us to think about the poor. But no, he says that they want to, they're begging for something. Some of them figure where they can get at the street sign, a stop sign, four-way cross, and they say, if I get there, man, I can beg all day, and I can make, get $100, $150, you know, because some people are, you know, they got a compassion. And that's their mindset. And they come out there every day, you see them every day with a piece of cardboard. God say you're supposed to give him something. That is your hedge. That's the hedge of your feet, that you're keeping something in your car to give to them. And he said, look, don't pick up the stuff that dropped from the harvester, from the machine. Let it stay, because the poor are going to come. Listen to what he says. He says, it is the same with your grapes. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines. And do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. God gives instructions how to take care of the poor. Always be ready to give the poor something. Go to another scripture. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. We sometimes don't want to. We find an excuse. You know what I'm saying? I hear people say, why can't they get a job? Ain't nobody going to hire them with them clothes all stinking. They hear them matted from sleeping in the bush, sleeping on the in a rundown house, you know. They smell. You know, sometimes they come to you begging you. You say, man, but can the person smell like that? They smell like urine, smell like defecation. Like they haven't had a shower in months. And you look at them, their teeth are all cruddy, full of dirt, need brushing, hair full of mess. But God see you got to bless them. Bless them out their mess. Listen to what he said. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. Let's start at verse 7 to 11. But there are many poor Israelites in your towns. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan, because the year of cancellation debt is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Now, that's a so powerful verse right there. See, every 7 years you had to cancel the debt. Don't care what nobody owe you. You got to cancel the debt. I remember back in Virginia, Washington metropolitan area, this Christian man and his wife and daughter used to come to the church. I was in an apostolic church where I was baptized, and I was the youth pastor in that church. And the bishop died. And the guy and his wife had got put out their power, and the little girl. And it seemed like it was very, very nice. So at the time I had my business, plumbing, heating, air conditioning business. And he said, Pastor, can you lend me some money to pay my rent? I'm behind on my rent. I said, no problem, man, no problem. I didn't have the money on me then. But I think it was the following week or the Wednesday midweek service, I brought a check to the church. $1,000-something. I wrote him. Whatever he needed, was way over $1,000. And he never, ever paid me back. And I never asked him about it. And the thing is that his brother is a commentator on the BET television. And, you know, I could never remember his brother's name. I'm not going to tell who he is, though. But even right now, the Lord just brought back his name, the name of his brother. They got to see him last name too. And he was too ashamed to go. And his brother had the money. Because, you know, people make a lot of money. Yeah, but he was too embarrassed to go to his brother I said, brother, brother probably would have given, never pay me back. But God, you got to do this. You can't think of it. If you don't do it, God said he's going to consider you guilty of sin because you wouldn't help the poor, the needy. He said, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. There's always poor people in the land. Don't matter how much blessings you see going on, there always going to be some poor people in the land. I have people now that I'm dealing with that is so poor that it hurts my belly. And you know, you know people, because I was there and see them picking leaves and putting little butter or some kind of crazy oil on the leaves and cooking the leaves to feed their children. Man, it hurts you to your core. When you know that your family got more than enough, they're not rich, but they have more than enough. There never a day that you can say, well, since I've been here, and I can't say there was a day that I went to sleep hungry. I can't say I had peanut butter and jelly. I had something. You know what I'm saying? I had something. I had a hot dog. I had a hamburger, something that I could eat. Never been asleep. I had some flour. I could have put some, mix them up with some sugar and put them on the stove, you know, make some pancakes with them. I knew I had something to eat. But there's always, he said, you always have the poor with you. Always, always. That is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. This is God speaking. Moses the prophet, he gave it to Moses the prophet to speak to the people. When I told you, go. Hallelujah. Go to, did we went over there? Oh, I think we've been there. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Yes. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We have to hit this thing. Go to, you know the scripture. Go to Romans chapter 12. You know this. You know the scripture. We do this every day, especially, that's one of Minister Jones' favorite scriptures. He hit that all the time. Romans 12. And this is what Paul says, because we're talking about call for justice. And he says, living a living sacrifice to God. This is how you got to present yourself. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. And read out the Living Translation. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors of and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I like that. I like that version. Let's look at it in the King James Version. Hallelujah. We got to present ourselves, because who we are and whose we are. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God expects us to live a certain way, to come before him a certain way. I'm teaching today, not preaching. I'm hoping or not hoping or not. God expects us to come, because why? When you live this way, you're going to have a mind to see justice. All through the book of Deuteronomy. Go to Amos. Amos chapter 2. We hit Amos for a couple of times. Amos chapter 2 and then chapter 5. Amos chapter 2 and verses 6, he says, this is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. Now, there were a lot of, if you read this from verse 4 to verses 14 or to the end, there were a lot of slave traders. In the Arab countries, all those countries in the Middle East, that's what they did. They sell, they sold the African, the black people, so they could live a luxurious lifestyle. Do you know that? Yeah, I sent the tape last night. I got the tape last night. I said, whoa, I didn't know that. Now, we always think about Germany, but you never think of the Arabs as slave traders or even Israel as slave traders. Amos chapter 5, let me give you, let me see where we are. Yeah, a little bit more. Amos chapter 5, 11 and 12, and this is what the prophet says. You trample the poor, stealing their grain. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in their courts. Whew, God, that's a hard word right there. So those who are smart, keep their mouth shut, for it is an evil time. Do what is good and run from evil, so that you may live. Then the Lord God of heaven's army will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even yet, the Lord God of heaven's army will have mercy on the remnant of his people. Therefore, this is what the Lord God of heaven's army says. There will be crying in all the public squares and mourning in every street. Call for the farmers to weep with you and summon professional mourners to wail. There will be wailing in every vineyard, for I will destroy them all, says the Lord. Then the Lord went on in this same book, speaking about judgment. Go to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8 and verse 4. Listen to this. You who rob the poor, trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day and the religious festival to end so you can get back to cheating the helpless. And you measure out grain with dishonest measures and cheat the buyers with dishonest scales. That's why Solomon says that a false balance is an abomination to God, but a just weight is his delight. They cheat you. And you mix the grain with shells. You mix the grain you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. Now the Lord has sworn this oath. O name, the pride of Israel, I will never forget. The wicked things you have done. He said the earth will tremble for your deeds. And everyone will mourn. The ground will rise like the Nile River at flood time. It will heave up, then sink again. In that day, says the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon. Darkness and darken the earth while it is still day. I will turn your celebrations into time of mourning and your singing into weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your head to show your sorrow, as if your only son has died. How very bitter that day will be. The time is surely coming, says the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, of hearing the words of the Lord. People were staggered from sea to sea and wandered from border to border, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Hear that? Beautiful girls and strong young men will grow faint in that day, thirsting for the Lord's word. And those who swear by the sinful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the name of the God of Dan and make vows to the name of the God of Beersheba, they will all fall down, never to rise. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Go and get hungry for the word. But they will not find it. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's put some more on here and get this word up here, because the Lord is going to take us somewhere else tomorrow. The Lord say the same. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses, we're going to go through the books of Deuteronomy for a little bit here. Verse 16. Put up a couple here. 16. At that time, I instructed the judges, you must hear the cases of your fellow Israelites and the foreigners living among you. Be perfectly fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgment. Hear the cases of those who are poor as well as those who are rich. Don't be afraid of anyone's anger, for the decision you make is God's decision. Bring me any case that are too difficult for you, and I will handle them. At that time, I gave you instructions about everything you were to do. God spoke to the judges of that time. He's still speaking now. Some people are not hearing, though. Some of these people that are in public services are not hearing that God is speaking. Deuteronomy chapter 24. They're not hearing. Hallelujah. They're not hearing. They're judging the way they want to judge. They're doing what they want to do. Just like you look at these Congress people and these Supreme Court judges, the police department, they're doing everything they want to do. They're not listening to God. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and 17 says, true justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans. And you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. You hear that? Let's read that again. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans. And you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt, that the Lord your God redeemed you from your slavery. That is why I have given you this command. See, we got to remember this. My mama used to say when she was alive, boy, don't ever forget where you came from. She said, if you forget where you came from, you're destined to return. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verses 22. However, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. Now he tells you straight up, verse 20, you may charge interest for foreigners, but you may not charge interest to Israelites, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land you are about to enter and occupy. 21 says, when you make a vow to the Lord, your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promise him. For the Lord, your God, demands that you promptly fulfill your vows, and you will be guilty of sin. However, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. In other words, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and don't pay. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 16, and we shall be finished. Deuteronomy 16, talking about call to justice. I think we missed one chapter there. We'll go back into that now. Two verses. Deuteronomy 16 and the verse 11 and 14. He says, this is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the designated place of worship. He will choose for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites from your towns, and the foreigners, orphans, and widows who live among you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. So be careful to obey all these decrees. Verse 14. This festival will be a happy time of celebrating with your sons and daughters, your male servants, and female servants, and the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows from your towns. Hallelujah. For 7 days, you will celebrate this festival to honor the Lord, your God, at the place of he chooses. For it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work. This festival will be a time of great joy for all. Let's go to Leviticus 25. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. And 25. Bless the name. 25 and let's go up here. And 35. If one of your fellow Israelites fall into poverty and cannot support himself, support him as you would a foreigner or a temporary resident, and allow him to live with you. Oh, today people don't want to take you in. People don't want to take you in. He says, remember, he said, do not charge interest or make a profit at his expense. Instead, show your fear of God by letting him live with you as your relative. Remember, do not charge interest or money you lend him or make a profit on food you sell him. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Last scripture. I know you're all still working and got things to do. Deuteronomy 19 and 10. That way you will prevent the death of innocent people in the land of that the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. You will not be held responsible for the death of innocent people. But suppose someone is hostile towards a neighbor and deliberately ambush and murder him and then flees to one of the cities of refuge. In that case, the elders of the murderers hometown must send agents to the city of refuge to bring him back and hand him over to the dead person's avenger to be put to death. Now, this is what Israel is doing right now. See? They are going after the people that killed the babies and killed the old people and raped the young women and the young boys. Some boys, one girl was raped 40 times by 40 different people. And she died 40 times. The rape was so hard that they broke her pelvis. They broke her pelvic hip bones. And she died. This is the stuff that's going on over there. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word. We thank you for prophetess came on for a while. She got off. just now. We thank you for Minister Jones, and we thank you for Deacon Fraser being here with us today. As always, he's always comes in. We pray that we will be able to fellowship with him soon. And we pray for his mother and all his kinfolk as they go through the loss of his father. You know that he'll be all right because God has him covered. Father, we pray today for this word as we have put it on there that somebody today would find true justice, oh God. Somebody's dealing with a situation that they didn't do. They're charged, being charged for something that they didn't do. I hear you, Lord. And Lord, we pray today that you vindicate them right now, Lord God. Touch the heart of the prosecutor, the heart of the judge. The heart of the king, Lord God, is in your hand. And you give them the victory. Lord, we pray for that one that don't have food today, that don't have shelter, don't have clothes, change of clothes, can't take a bath, don't even have a toothbrush to brush their teeth. Lord, don't have shampoo to wash their hair. Lord, I pray that you send someone to help them, someone to supply their needs. For you will already bless the person that's going to bless them. Father, we pray today, oh God, protection over this nation, United States of America. The CIA is saying that they are vigilant. They want everybody to be vigilant because they're expecting that the United States will be attacked soon and soon. You go to the mall, you go to the gas station, the grocery store, pay attention to your surroundings. If you see somebody put down a paper bag or a backpack or any utensils, just put that down, just walk away. If you set a can down, call somebody. That can may be a bomb. That bag may be a bomb. Don't just walk away and say, well, the person just dropped the bag there. This is how they do things. It looks simple. Israel just found a backpack on the field, a child backpack. You know how the little toys that they stick onto the backpack, and it was a bomb in the backpack, and it had a remote control. So they, wherever they were, they would be able to see, but Israel was able to blow that thing up, and it didn't kill anybody. Pay attention. The CIA, the FBI, is saying that they are Hamas and ISIS already in the nation. They're already here. They came over the border. So pay attention. You may be driving, going somewhere, you pull into a truck stop, to a gas station or something. Pay attention. Don't go in there and say, well, I'm saved and sanctified. No, God said, watch in prayer. Watch in prayer. May I go that look all around me. I'm not scared, but I'm observing my surroundings. You understand? Even if I park my car and I'm sitting in my car, I get out, I look underneath the next car that's sitting to my left or to my right. I look and make sure there's nothing underneath that car. It had to be stick on the car with a magnet, but it's not sitting on the floor. I'm observant. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take a minute just to pray. We're not going to give you a whole lot of scriptures today. Just give you two scriptures. God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that you must repent, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? I want you to know that you need to repent and you need to be baptized. The Bible says if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For if the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10 and 11. Romans 3 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. I'll give the wrong number to that before. Anyway, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember this. You have to repent. You have to know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And the only one that can save your life, save your soul, is Jesus Christ. Now remember this. When you give your life to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, he's only saving your soul, not your flesh. That's why you got to stay connected to him. The branch is no good without the vine. The branch draws its substance from the vine. So we are the branches, he the vine. You have to stay connected to him because the flesh can always want to act up simple. You can always want to do its own thing. And when you're connected to him, he will give you the instructions of what not to do so you can live a holy, righteous life. If you don't know Jesus today, just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in all that you have done at the cross to save humankind. Jesus, I believe in the finished work of the cross, that the blood was shed so that we can have the right to the tree of life. And today, I'm coming denouncing Satan and all of his agents. Lord Jesus, my heart is open, and I'm inviting you to enter my heart now. Take up your rightful position in my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I receive you now. If you just said that prayer and you believe in your heart what you said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But that's what the Bible says. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to study the word of God. Study just means going over and over and over and over and over. Going over and over till you get it in your heart. If you don't study, it'd be just like going to a movie. You can't remember the beginning from the end. You know, like people going to the church and they're excited because the preacher's preaching, is hooping and hollering. And they say, man, they tell you, call you up, say you didn't been in church that Sunday. Say, boy, our sister, you should have been at church on Sunday. Pastor, hello? Pastor really preach on Sunday. And you say, what did he preach about? They tell, I don't know what he preached about, but he sure did preach. But why? They didn't hear anything. Okay? So you receive the gift of salvation. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you receive the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You want to be baptized in his name. Before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, anybody that you can get. Because when they come, they might hear the preacher making a short sermon and give their life to Jesus. And then they go through the baptismal classes. And so you're going to go down the water, invite your friends, your family, co-workers, enemies. And you're going to go down what we call the liquid grave. In that liquid grave, you're going to leave all of the things that kept you away from Jesus in that water. That's what you declare. Hallelujah. When you come up out the water, we call it the liquid grave, you are coming up in the righteousness of who the Lord Jesus said you are. You're coming up in it, covered in it. Find your church that is teaching and preaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Hallelujah. Get yourself involved in ministry. Don't be just a spectator, because there's a lot of spectators. They go to church. They go to the building on Sunday. They go on Wednesday. They go on Saturday. Whenever the doors open, they're there. But they're not doing nothing for the kingdom. They're not participating in the kingdom work. Kingdom business. You know, they're just going, sitting down hearing the word, going back home, sitting down hearing the word and going back home. They're not doing anything with the word that they get. You hear me today? So, I want to just thank you all for coming in today and allowing me to talk to you according to the word of God. We'll be back here tomorrow and see what the Lord is saying to us, what he got for us for tomorrow. And we'll give it to you, whatever he give me tonight. So we're going to pray and close out. Everybody jump off. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for keeping us, O God, giving us just what we need. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. We ask, O God, as we leave this land, but never your presence, O God, that you continue to bless us, that you continue to keep us, continue to give us more than enough, O God. Give us so much that we have some to give to those that don't have any. And we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So you want people to see, and you want people to hear the word of God that comes out of your belly. You want them to see it and hear. Because your lifestyle will speak. Understand? Your lifestyle speaks. So we're thanking God for you. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. Because it may be the word that you speak today that will make all the difference in your life. May stop someone from committing suicide. May stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it. Okay, God bless you. I love you. But God loves you more. I'm going to go relax now. But I didn't have a good sleep last night, good rest. And I really need to take some rest. I will see you all on tomorrow morning if the Lord's or God say the same. Have a blessed day. And be safe. Pay attention to your surroundings. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to this special update of the Israel at War, Day 17, of Chris Mitchell. Israel entered the 17th day of the war with Hamas, plus dealing with other enemies on multiple fronts. But in the north, with Hezbollah could represent Israel's biggest challenge. In Gaza, the IDF continues to pound targets as a prelude to a likely ground invasion. In the West Bank, the IDF arrested dozens of Hamas terrorists, and here Hamas uses a weapons depot.
I'm still ready.
That's true. All right, sit down then. Got another problem. Look at it again, and it was still hot. And he said he was. I don't know, honey. Oh, I'll let you know. Right now, I'm just going to finish reading the Israel news. /128/82. That's good. All right, you still have a headache? Still have a headache?
You can say, but I'm not kidding you.
Want me to cut the light?
Turn it on, did you?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you don't want it on.
Didn't want
it? You have it on. Just say yes or no.
No.
My God.
Come
here. Just a minute.
Read that check.
My book, my schedule book. This
anything up there gotta pay?
No. Not until next month. My mother has an eye doctor appointment tomorrow. I am taking her, and you will have to take Samara to work. She has to be there at 12:30. It's the only day we have interference. Okay. Interference, Meadow. Interference. You know what interference is? Light comes in. Even though Grandpa was going to eat before he... I'm going back to that news. Hopefully it didn't skip to another section.